This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
You could be forgiven for thinking that Duncan Robinson is just a fun-loving guy who messes around on the radio every day. But before he worked at Hope, Duncan and his wife Carly spent 2 years trying to plant a church on Sydney's northern beaches. Heartbreakingly, after 2 years, they had to close the church doors and walk away from their dream. How do you recover from a disappointment like that? And why didn't God show up for them? Duncan's been reflecting on his experiences, and I thought I'd invite him in to share. Hi, Duncan.
Hey, Katrina. How you doing?
Not too bad. Well, firstly, Duncan, sell us the dream. What have you been hoping to achieve with your Mission 6-8 church plant?
Well, I mean, I actually think the dream probably even started earlier than that. In 2008, we moved to America to learn how to church plant. We did that for 5 years with the hope eventually of church planting somewhere. When the opportunity came up to move back to Australia, we had 2 kids at that stage and had to conduct an international move back to Australia that we didn't plan on doing. We had just been spending a lot of time in prayer about planting a church. And one of the things that always resonated with me was the idea of do justice, love mercy, walk humbly, which is from Micah 6:8, which led to Mission 6:8 being the name of the church. And then we attempted to plant a church in an area where there was a number of churches, but still a small Christian population.
Okay.
And we didn't make connections like we hoped. We ran out of finances faster than we anticipated. We tried to get into relationships with some churches that failed miserably. And it just got to a point where it was really obvious. We felt like that God was shutting doors and saying, this is not going to transpire. And so after 2 years of attempting to do that and generate a core group and make the decision to launch, we closed the doors on the church. Three services into launching kind of thing.
That must have been devastating. How did you feel when you made that decision to pull the pin?
Well, it was hard. We had a prayer group of about 5 people. And as we were processing through launching and what that might look like and doing some preview services, kind of all the things that people say you should do with church planning, we came into the team one day and it was crazy. I was like, I don't think this is going to work. You know, we've done 3 preview services. They keep on getting smaller. I just don't think we've got the momentum to do this.
So before you go on, what did your church actually look like on a Sunday?
So we had a small group that met on a Sunday because we didn't have enough space to launch a church. But what we did was we would meet week in, week out and just pray about church. And then I'd have like 1,000 coffees. Like I probably in the space of 3 years had 300 coffees with various different people that we tried to get into our small group to do this. I met with a bunch of people who didn't know Jesus yet and invited them along to church. Some of them showed up once, some of them showed up twice. And so we felt like we were generating some interest. But essentially Sundays for the longest time was just prayer, a short dedication, and then a lot of time of just building relationships. We had 3 what I would call a preview service. So we got in a band, we organized a hall, we had all the sound equipment, and we put on a service. And the first one was like 22 people. The second one was 8 people. The third one was 5 people, which was essentially my family and one other person. And on that day, we were just like, I think it's over.
That must have been devastating to have worked that hard for that long and just not have it fly.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's the thing, though, is I think a failure is much scarier when she's in a different room. And I'm not saying it's a he or a she, but, you know, like from my perspective, I feel like failure when it's around the corner is very daunting. But when you come face to face with failure, it's not nearly as scary as that you anticipated. You know, like you see it and you go, oh, man, this creature is actually quite frail and just makes a lot of noise. And so I felt like when we encountered failure of the church, it was like, oh, well, I'm still sharing Jesus and I've still got my family and I've still got these friendships.
Yeah.
I still have the ability to be a pastor. It's just not going to be under the banner of Mission 6-8. I just, you know. And so at that point, I was like, oh, this is not so bad. It was tragic, but it didn't feel nearly as bad as I thought it was going to feel.
That's really interesting, isn't it? The pastor and founder of the Royal Flying Doctors, John Flynn, always talked about successful failures, which is the idea that you achieve nothing, but you learn a lot along the way.
Yes.
Do you feel that you learn a lot from your experience?
Yeah, and people say to me, oh, it wasn't a failure. I'm like, no, it was an utter catastrophe. Like, it cost, you know, tens and tens of thousands of dollars. It went nowhere. It accomplished very little. But I learned a huge amount through the process. I made some incredible friends and we connected with people that we wouldn't anticipate connecting with. But at the end of the day, the goal was to plant a church and we did not plant a church. And so I look at it and go, yeah, it was a big failure. But it was something that we learnt a great deal from. So, yeah, I would totally agree with Dr. Flynn. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm speaking with Duncan Robinson, our brekkie guy, about his experiences of church planting. Duncan, what did you practically learn about church planting through the experience? Just one or two things.
It's way harder than you first imagined. And I think you spend too much time focusing on success stories of people who plant a church and have 7,000 people line up to be a part of it. And there's, for every success story like that, there's 20 or 30 others that have been plugging away at it and they've got 10 people in the building.
I guess we don't hear about those stories though, do we?
You don't. And the other thing is they don't get booked to speak at conferences and events because people don't want to talk about the ugly side. You've got it's a 90% attrition rate for church plants. So wow. 9 out of 10 church plants fail.
Yeah. And so... You know, you went into this following God's will for what you thought he wanted to do. So did you have a crisis of faith when it didn't work out where you were saying, God, what were you doing?
Yeah, I thought on two passages were really prominent in my conversation, which was Romans 8, neither height nor depth nor anything in all of creation can separate us from the love that is in Christ Jesus. We love that passage. In Romans 9, it talks about the sovereignty of God and it says, for it was not dependent on their own ability, but by the grace of God on whom he would choose to show his blessing to. And I think if I'm loved, I am blessed. And God's choice of blessing was different to what I anticipated. And it in no way diminished the fact that I was loved. Mm-hmm. And grappling with that was probably the hardest thing. Surely, God, you would want another church. But his decision and his blessing for my life was not to let me lead it. And that was hard because it didn't diminish the fact that he loved me as a son.
Maybe he just wanted you to lead a church on the radio, Duncan. Maybe God's saying, this is where it's at for you.
Maybe.
I want to say that, like, honestly, you've landed on your feet. You've now got a great job. But you have also had to let go of this dream. So do you feel at peace about it now? Do you feel that it was part of God's plan for you?
Yeah. A lot of it came out of an article that I posted on my own blog, kind of all the reasons that the church failed. And that was kind of the catharsis of the whole process, was like, this is the one final verbal brain emotional dump that I'm going to take and display it out there for the world to see. Because I feel like oftentimes there's two different kinds of planters, okay? There's Paul-style planters who plant these generational, multi-regional churches that connect with thousands of people. But when you look at church history, John also planted churches. And his churches did not go very many places and they did not reach a bunch of people, but they were significant. And so I felt like maybe I planted a really tiny church that didn't go a bunch of places, but it reached a significant person.
Mm. And so what would you say to someone else who might have followed, you know, where they thought that God was leading, but it didn't work out and they're in that place now where you were maybe a couple of years ago of questioning?
Just sit with that. I think there's a moment with Elijah where he's getting fed by birds by the side of a river and then they stop feeding him and he loses his mind. He's like, what are you doing, God? Where's my food? It's like, man, birds were delivering food. Did you not think that God was in that moment right from the get-go? But that moment of kind of indecision and worry leads to a moment where he goes and pours water like gasoline on a pyre and sets it on fire to prove the prophets of Baal wrong. And I think maybe your greatest struggle sits just before God's greatest moment in your life and you just need to sit with that and wait patiently for him to show up and show what you were meant to do.
It's not easy, though, is it?
It's daunting. It's totally daunting. And I like... I remember sitting with my wife and going, I'm 37. I don't even know what I'm meant to do now. Do you know? And then I see this, like, here's what happens. I'm 37. I have no clue what I'm meant to do. I'm sitting at a church who desperately loves me, but there's not finances to keep me on team. They're like, we love you. We want you to stick around, but we don't know how to keep you on team. And someone says, there's this job coming up at Hope, and they're looking for a guy who's married, has a couple of children, can speak, and loves Jesus. And I'm like, I'm qualified. This might be the only thing that I'm qualified to do. But it wasn't until that moment of kind of like, I've got nothing, Lord. Like, let's just push in on you and see what happens, that showed up.
It's interesting, isn't it? Very interesting. So remember this, people. When you're in that moment, you don't know what's coming next. Remember what happened to Duncan. Maybe there's something just around the corner with your name on it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing your story, Duncan.
Thanks, Katrina.
That's Duncan Robinson talking about his experiences of moving on after a dream dies.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.